If I wish I had, like Rav Shlomo, he would go around and hug everyone before he gave a shiur, but then it would take a little while. So just, I'll give you guys a spiritual hug. Well, thank you, appreciate it. Second of all, like always, it's really not mussar like you did something wrong. It's really just speaking to myself and to everyone, encouraging points that we all need to remind ourselves about. So in this week's parsha, let's start with last week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu has a dream. And the question is, why does Yaakov Avinu suddenly leave Lavan after 22 years of working hard? Something happens, and he decides it's time to go home. It's time to go back to Canaan. So what happened that he suddenly decided it's time to go home? So Hirsch explains that originally what Yaakov Avinu was dreaming about was ladders and angels and spiritual things. And now what's he dreaming about? He's dreaming about like rachelim and like lambs and money and how to get more money. In other words, he's kind of been influenced by Lavan. Even Yaakov Avinu has been around, and his environment has had a kind of effect on him. And now that he's dreaming about these very material things, God says, we got to get you out of here to a totally different place. In this week's parsha, on the flip side, after so many years where Esav was thinking about how he's going to get back at his brother, and Yaakov's been trying to run away from his brother, finally that moment where they're coming together and they're about to reunite happens, and the Torah says that Yaakov bows 7 times, Vayichabkeu Vayishnashakeu, and they hug each other and they kiss each other. And there are these dots on that kiss. Now there's a machlokes, what the dots mean. But Rashi quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, generally, Esav hated Yaakov. But this is the dots are there to tell us that at that moment, Esav genuinely loved Yaakov. Esav really, really loved him with all his heart. Why? What changed about Esav? Yaakov's love. Yaakov's love melted his heart. Right? Yaakov is the first Rav Shlomo. He gave him such a big hug that Esav's like, you know what? You changed me. You've actually changed me. And there's that genuine love at that moment. And it's like the stories of Rav Shlomo. People go over to Rav Shlomo, and someone come up with a gun and say, give me all your money. And he said, oh, if you're coming to rob me, it means you must be going through so much pain. And he gave him a big hug. And the guy drops his gun and gives him a big hug. Right? So I had to work with Rav Shlomo's story into Muslim. So what's the point I'm getting at? The point is that our environment, the people around us, be it Lavan or be it the Yaakovs, those are the things that are going to affect and change who we are and who we become. So before I give just the point-to-point things that I think we could work on in making this our environment a little bit stronger, just like 3 psychological studies. First of all, everybody knows that does anyone here like laugh tracks? You know, like on TV shows when they have those like fake laugh things? Who here doesn't like laugh tracks? Me too. I don't like laugh tracks. So, yeah, they're like fake. So why is it that TV shows continue, or at least when I used to watch TV, they have these TV, why do they still have laugh tracks? What's the point of that if everyone hates them? Why do they do that? So I think it's more than, it's not just to tell you when it should be funny. Statistics show that laugh tracks actually get people to laugh longer and harder, even though we know it's fake, even though we know it's just a robot. But what happens? We are social animals. We look around us, and if we hear someone else laughing, it affects us, so we laugh longer. And that's why the TV shows do laugh tracks. Similarly, you'll notice a lot of times when there is like at a bar, you guys don't know about bars, but I'm saying at someone's collecting tzedakah, he's playing guitar and the robot square and he's making some money, right? So a lot of times what they'll do is if you want to make some extra money, they'll put extra money in the guitar case, even that they give to themselves. Why do you put the money in the guitar case or in the tip jar? Because people say, oh, other people are giving? I should also give. Right, we look around us. We don't do this consciously, but we subconsciously. We look around and see other people are giving. We should also give. Right, that we're affected by our environment. Another really fascinating study, Albert Bandura, I'm sure you guys learned about him in AP Psych. So he discovered that if there are these little boys who are terrified of dogs, right? So all he had them do is watch these studies, watch these on-screen little kids playing with friendly dogs. And after a 23-minute video, 67% of these kids who were terrified of dogs, were after they watched it like 3-4 times, they were willing to go in and be friendly and nice to dogs. Because what we see affects us. Right? What's around us has a big effect on who we are and what we become. Right? And I can go on and on and on and on and on about the psychological studies, but I think this is intuitive. I think we all recognize naturally, we know that what we put into our brain is who we become. Okay? The environment we create, right? Especially, yeah, thank you, guys. You want to pick up the phone? The environment that we create it affects who we are and who we become, and that's especially true in the case of yeshiva, right? When we're in a particularly a raita, we are in a super claustrophobically close environment where everything we do is felt by somebody else. So it's really important to recognize that and to notice that when we're doing good, we're going to have a huge effect. And when we're doing things that aren't as, you know, encouraging to the environment, it's going to affect. It's definitely going to affect the people around us. So maybe I'll just throw out some things that have been on my mind. I'm the rabbi that's around probably the most. So I see a lot of things, you know, early in the morning, late at night. You know, it's just things that we all can work on. First of all, the base matters. The base matters is supposed to be a place of sanctity, a place of kedusha, a place where you feel the buzz. When I know the rabbis have all given mussar and take away your phones, I'm not coming from a place of like it's awesome, it's bad, it's against the rules. Just purely coming from a place of we want to create a beautiful environment here of kedusha, of productivity. When you're on your phone, playing with your phone, playing a game on your phone, right, the guy next to you sees that. He feels that. The rabbis, when they teach, they also see it. They just it affects the environment. It's not just that you're bored, so you want to go on the phone. It's killing the vibe for everyone else around you. And I know that after this Musar Shabbos, people still will be on their phones. I get that. But at least we should be more conscious about it. At least we should ask ourselves, when I'm on my phone, is this affecting the guy around me? Is this, you know, what type of atmosphere am I creating for the yeshiva? Right? I know personally, I go into other yeshivas. Sometimes I was at H the other day, and it was such a beautiful vibe because no one was on their phone. People were just learning. And it just totally kills the atmosphere. When you people on Facebook, you go straight into the base, sit down for night seder, and check your Facebook. It kills the vibe of the base. While we're on the topic of the base, especially when it's a quiet base manners, and there's not so many people around, if you're going to be screaming to your friend or just talking loudly to your friend, yo, you see the game last night, yo, it was awesome, blah, 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 blah. It's the people around you are just, it's going to be harder for them to learn. And they're not going to have the guts to come over to you and say, could you please be quiet? Because that's not nice. But when you're schmoozing loudly about things that are not Torah related, you're creating an environment which makes it really hard for the people around you to learn. So that's something that we all mess up in sometimes. But it's something that we can definitely all strengthen ourselves in and just be more aware of those around us. Right? Okay, another little thing, maybe 3 or 4 more little things. And on the flip side, by the way, when I'm coming into the base and I'm learning strong, when I'm Jordan, who gets here at 6:45 every day, and he's learning strong, that's also making a huge effect. When Nimrod's here steiging every day, and one sees him steiging, that creates an environment of, it really, really changes the atmosphere for everyone else. When you're playing sports, when you're playing frisbee, when you're playing football, and you decide you're going to keep your kippah on, that makes a big difference. And when you take your kippah off, it changes the environment of the game, right? Even if it's not just about you. How about when, let's talk about saying thank you. This is something I don't like talking about, but a lot of times
a rabbi or others will like bring food or like do it, I don't know, do extra things and just get so used to it. And most people just forget to say thank you because that's not the environment that we've created for some reason. And then there's always that one guy who says thank you and appreciates it and thinks or cleans up, you know, after the shir. And that's an amazing another example of someone creating an atmosphere, someone taking the time, even when he's not torn up Beis Midrash, to take a book, to put it back, to care about the general environment and not just me, the individual. Okay? This is something that some guys have come over and complained to me about. When you are, I know it's only kind of related, but I had to throw it in there. We know when that guys are signing your friends in. It's one thing to not show up to shir or to not come to Seder. Fine. Sometimes you'll get in trouble. Most of the times you'll get away with it. But to ask your friend to sign in, it just, it kills the vibe. It takes an honest yeshiva of, and just makes it, puts dishonesty and like, it kind of poisons the whole environment. So, I understand it's hard, but like, just take responsibility. If you can't make it to class or to shir or whatever, just don't sign in. Don't ask your friend to lie for you. Because that just poisons the environment for everyone. And again, when it comes to davening, the guys who are taking davening seriously, learning, and you know, really, you're inspiring the rest of us, and you're changing the environment for the good. And the guys who are in the back on when you're on phones, and you're when you're talking, people sense it. It really is killing the environment for everyone else in the yeshiva. Just one last point when it comes to how our environment affects us. It's also really important to remember that we have to have gdolim in our lives. We have to have people in our lives who are being mashpia upon us, be it Holy Brother or Rav Aryeh Levine or gdolim books, which by reading about them, that's actually going to change who I become, or be it to just take the time already at this point in the year to have older chavrutot, madrichim, rabbis. It's not too late in the year to just to grab a chavrusa, because that, the rabbi, that's what we're here. We want to really mashpia. We want to help, you know, give you those role models. But if you don't make the time, if you don't come over and ask for those chavrutas and ask for that people to really change us, to create that environment, to put those people in our lives to help us grow to become the people you want to be, then the rabbis aren't going to always have time to make that happen. So I wanted to just give a little push, you know. I remember one of my biggest mistakes when I was in yeshiva at a kotel is I was like basically a good kid. I learned, you know, most of the time, but I never made a rabbi kesher. I didn't ever have that rebbe. And to this day, I regret it. Because it was on me. I had to go and ask them for the chavruta and ask that older guy to be a role model to be mashpia upon me. And I was too like selfish, like, I'm fine on my own. So I want to encourage everyone here to not make that mistake and really humbly just go over and bring those people into your lives who are going to affect us in the most positive way. I want to bless us all that we should really create a beautiful, beautiful environment and atmosphere as we do 99% of the time, and keep dancing and singing together to make this amazing yeshiva.